checks and picked herself right up off the floor. One eye was swelling shut, she had a pain in her gut. There was a drunk man weeping by the door.
Oh, I couldn't resist starting with a little music from Michael Perry and the Long Beds. Michael Perry, my guest here now on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Always great to have him with us. And we've got some new things to talk about with him. Well, we always have new things when he's on the show to talk about, but some really exciting things happening in Michael's life and in your life and mine, too, if you pay any attention at all to Tent Show Radio, for example. Tent Show Radio, which airs, oh my goodness, it airs Saturdays from 7 to 8 on most of our Ideas Network stations. And WHAD listeners can hear it Saturdays at 10 following Higher Ground, 10 p.m. Michael Perry is hosting Tent Show Radio, and he's been doing it since January 1st. So we wanted to have him on to talk about Tent Show Radio. He also is performing, he's got a little tour going. He's performing the Clodhopper Monologues. And I know he's going to be at Mineral Point on the 29th of this month at the Mineral Point Opera House in Mineral Point, obviously, Wisconsin. So we're going to talk with him today about the Clodhopper Monologues. We're going to talk with him about Tent Show Radio. We'll probably talk about books and writing as well with him. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments. Do you listen to Tent Show Radio, or have you listened to it? If you haven't, better start listening, because Michael's there, and you're going to have a real treat on your hands. Michael Perry with me. Actually, he's not right here in the studio with me. He's in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Eau Claire. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Sounds like present. Sounds like you're right next to me.
I think they got me on one of those fancy big pipes, as they call it.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to hear your voice and great to have you with us today. And I was excited to learn here a while back that you were taking over as host of Tent Show Radio. You started January 1st, right?
Yes. I wouldn't use the phrase taking over. I feel like, you know, I'm being allowed to drive for a little stretch of the journey. Tent Show has a wonderful history stretching back a couple of decades at least. And yeah. It's a privilege. You know, I first started going to the Big Top Chautauqua up there simply as a fan. I think one of the very first times I went, I was on a date with the woman who would become my wife.
Yeah.
I remember that weekend pretty clearly because I'd been a bachelor for 39 years and I was pretty well smitten. I knew very early, like 3 weeks in, that this was different and was probably it. And on the way up there, we hadn't been seeing each other real long, but there was something. We were driving across Highway 13 across the top of the state there and within sight of Gitchagumi and stopping for a little smoked fish here and there. And at one point, I looked into her eyes and I just said, this is different. Despite all my years of being single, this I can tell is it, and I'm prepared to make that level commitment. And she looked at me straight in the eyes and said, well, I'm going to wait until we hit the six-month mark, and then I'll give you a progress report. So as I said at the time, that was like a rolled-up newspaper to the snoot. I refer to my wife as forthright. She has a way of, I also refer to her as the great calibrator. Last summer, I decided I was going to try and see how fast I could run a mile. When I was in high school, I ran a mile in 4 minutes and 48 seconds. And
pretty good.
3 years ago at 44 or 43, I tried it again. And my goal was to get under 6 minutes. And I came across the line at 5:58. And so then I took a year off to recover. And then last summer, I thought, well, I'm going to do it again, see if I can beat my time. So I went down I trained for the spring, and then I ran this mile race, and I got in 5:50. So I actually improved my time, and
seconds.
I was going back to if you do the math, by the time I'm 50, I should be back in the fours again. But anyways, I was on my way back to the car, and someone flagged me down. They said, hey, you didn't pick up your medal. And I said, medal? And they said, because I'm here to tell you, Larry, it didn't feel like a 5:50. And I don't think it looked, I think it looked like a 1440 probably. But anyway, they said, yeah, you finished third in your age group. And I thought, well, that's terrific. So I called my wife and she said, well, how'd it go? And I said, it went great. I said, I improved my time. And I said, and I placed third in my age group. And she didn't even hesitate for a second. She just said, well, how many people were in this race? So she
there were at least three.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, I just remember going to the tent with her, and we had such a wonderful evening. It was a beautiful summer evening, and you go up the hill there to Mount Ashua Bay, and you watch the people gather around the big blue tent there. It's blue with pearl gray accents, and the people were filtering in, and we saw a Greg Brown show that night.
No.
And Greg Brown's about perfect in the tent. And so I first started coming up there just to go to the show like everybody else, and then I was fortunate enough to perform there a few times. And now the radio opportunity is a lot of fun. It's a fun way to be part of the live feel. They basically record the live performances and you take a 90-minute show and distill it down and turn it into a 50-minute radio show.
50-minute
The young folks show. Would call that a mashup.
Well, give us a little of the history of Tent Show Radio, would you?
Well, it starts over 20 years ago you know, some say it started in the 60s when a 13-year-old fella named Warren Nelson was listening to the Kingston Trio, and he wanted to become a songwriter because of that. And then over time, he played, and the tent, someone offered to set up some sort of an art center, as I recall, and Warren wondered if they might instead set up a tent. And so they started hosting these Chautauquas, and they called it Big Top Chautauqua. And it's been going strong ever since. There have been several different tents, and in 2000, actually, the tent burned down. But because of great volunteer help and, believe it or not, a backup tent, they only missed one night of performances.
Yeah.
And so, and gosh, the performances up there, I mean, you
some great performers.
Oh, yeah, everybody from Bill Monroe to Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash, Garrison Keillor performs up there. Taj Mahal, Nancy Griffith is going to be up there this summer, and Lucinda Williams has been there. Just great, great, great names have come under that canvas. And I like it, as again, just as a guy sitting out in the seats there, I've always said that I think it seats 900 people, but it has a way, that canvas has a way of making 900 people feel like a cozy dozen.
Yeah, it does.
And, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful place. So it's fun to do our best to try to capture that feel and put it back in radio form.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Perry, our guest today, we're talking with him about his new role as host of Tent Show Radio. We already had three shows aired on the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th, and more to come. And we're really glad to have him here to talk about that. Also, he's going to be performing the Clodhopper Monologues Saturday, January 29th at Mineral Point Opera House. So we'll talk with him about the Clodhopper Monologues as well, and certainly about his books, too, as we visit with him. You can join in. Let me give you the number. If you have a question for him or a comment, or have you ever participated or been to a Big Top Chautauqua or listened to Tent Show Radio, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. How did you happen to become the new host of Tent Show Radio? Did you just show up one day and said, here I am, hire me, or what happened?
No, I'm not quite that forthright. No, you know what? It's just a privilege to be. It was a privilege to perform up there, and there's just as wonderful as it is to sit out in the seats, it's also just a wonderful place to walk out on the boards, as they say. And I had done a few shows up there, and you know, honestly, I'm like the guy. It's a big old train. It's been going a long time before me, and it will go a long time after me. There was Tom Mitchell was hosting the show most recently, and he's still a longtime member of the Blue Canvas Orchestra, and you'll see him on stage as an actor. just a gentle, thoughtful man. I think the first time I had a long conversation with Tom, it was in a library basement, which was appropriate. It was real, real thoughtful exchange. And Philip Anich also has hosted. And of course, the person most associated was Warren Nelson. And right. he's the guy that he coined the phrase, the Carnegie Hall of tent shows. And I think that continues to be apt. And so they were, I guess, looking, I had performed up there a few times and it went well. And that's a great audience. I resonate with those audiences up there. And they're a nice mix of folks who get to both my different sorts of references I make, which tend to range anywhere from barn boots to Birkenstocks. And and that seems to work. And so other than that, I'm not sure. They just gave me a call. And you know me, Larry. I'm a self-employed fellow with kids to feed and a mortgage, so I generally only ever say one thing, and that's yes. So it's just great. It's the kind of thing you do respectfully, and you do with a very sincere acknowledgement of the history. It's not my show; it's the tent show.
Yeah. Well, Carl.
But it's great. Yeah. Great to be there.
Carl in Madison has comment or question for you. Let's go there to Carl. Hi, Carl.
Howdy. Your telephone producer already answered part of the question, but maybe you could elaborate on it. My question was going to be, because I didn't know whether or not the program was streamed on the internet, and she said it is, but it's only live while it's on the air. You don't archive it. But I was wondering, this has probably been going on for quite some time. Do you have any idea what your national exposure is? How much your national and international exposure has been increased by streaming the program on the internet?
I'm going to try to answer all of that in one fell swoop here, although I tend to go off on tangents, so good luck. But first of all, yes, if you go to Tent Show Radio, and it's bigtop.org, and then you can find it from there, or you can add /TSR/. And, of course, I also have links directly there. Actually, on my post today for sneezingcow.com, we have a link right directly to Tent Show Radio. The streaming, you're absolutely right. If you go there and you check the stations it airs on, several of those, if not most of them, offer streaming. I know the folks at Big Top are working on some other alternatives, but I don't think they're quite up and ready to roll yet. But it's definitely something they're aware of and working on, probably even as we speak. As far as the exposure, just on the physical radio stations, what do we call that? Terrestrial radio stations, I think, is in the business. You can hear it in Florida, Illinois, and Kansas, Massachusetts. I got the list here. Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, New York, Virginia, Wisconsin. One of my favorite things is on a couple of the northern Wisconsin stations, the listing has this little qualifier in italics where it says that the show may be reprogrammed for hockey games. I think that's only fair. But yes, I have to believe that, as I said, I don't have any specific numbers for you or anything, and the folks at Big Top would know a little more about this. But yeah, I have to believe it does widen your audience. Even my little Sneezing Cow blog, I get emails from Europe, and I get emails from soldiers serving in Iraq. And so I would trust that the show is finding a wider audience thanks to that technology.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Carl, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Michael Perry, our guest today, Wisconsin-based author, humorist, singer-songwriter, host of Tent Show Radio, currently on tour performing the Clodhopper Monologues. Our guest, if you want to join in with a question of your own or a comment of your own, I hope you'll do that. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Michael Perry, our guest. And again, if you'd like to join in with your questions or comments as we visit with him, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. And you know, I've got a little email from Muriel in Lone Rock who they've been out of the country and so didn't know that you were taking the place of becoming the new host here. Yeah, she said, I've seen the show twice, listened to it on the radio. We've been out of the country, so I didn't know that Michael was hosting the show, but we will sure listen in to the next one.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm thrilled to be there, and I think they also do a nice job of mixing in, we talked about some of those national acts and the one-namers that come through, and you'll have those folks on the show. But I also like that they've retained you'll also hear at least one or two songs each week from the Blue Canvas Orchestra and singers, the folks who are at the tent week after week and really give it the heart and soul that it possesses. And Philip Anich introduces the radio show, brings me on, as it were. And again, he's a member of the singers up there and the actors. It's just, I like the idea of, I've always been a big fan of radio and radio theater. And we've already talked about how wonderful the feel of that tent is when you're sitting in the audience. But it's also a doubly fun to, when we're recording these things, to do our best to close our eyes and imagine that it's July. Went outside, yet another snow dump is whipping past the window. But just that sense of recreating that space is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot different. Well, you're no stranger to the stage, but it's different from other on-air stage work, isn't it?
Yeah, I really do huddle down and try to. I think at one portion of the show, usually after the intermission, I do a little monologue, and I always start out by saying, "Welcome back to Tent Show Radio from the backstage dressing room with one little lonely light bulb burning." And I really do go to that place because that little dressing room does exist, and it's a quiet, thoughtful little spot. I have to admit, they do actually spring for more than one light bulb, but you heard it here first. You do have to try and, I don't get too carried away with it, but you do transport yourself back to how it feels to be in that tent on a warm summer or autumn evening. They run shows up there from, I hope I'm not misspeaking, but from June through the mid-September.
Yeah. And Jamie Penny Ritter, who's marketing director for Big Talk Chautauqua, just shot an email in and says, "We love," in all capital letters, "working with Michael."
That's nice to hear. Better than the alternative. Yeah. I appreciate that, but I get nervous if people say too many nice things. But that's very kind. No, it's a lot of fun, and it's like I said, I just feel lucky to be allowed to ride to ride on the train for a little while.
Yeah, and give us our listeners who may not be familiar with the show. You started to talk a little bit about how it works, but what does the show sound like through a sort of a typical hour?
Well, you hear the Blue Canvas Orchestra very early on in the show, and they usually play an instrumental tune, and sometimes the singers jump in as well. They've got some fabulously talented folks up there. And then there will be Philip Anich will do the basic introductions, and he welcomes me. And then I usually don't burn too much time at the top end because I know that folks want to hear the music. So we introduce the music. I usually try to do a little nutshell description of each musical act based on my impression of the work they put out. And then there's an intermission, and when we come back from intermission, that's when I'm in my little back room, the little dressing room there at the back of the tent, which really does exist. And I just I talk about whatever's on my mind. Sometimes it's tied to the show. Sometimes it derives from the actual act or the music. But other times I just go off, and I've talked about everything from one of the things I talked about was Cheesehead Spanglish, which is in my family, I'm pretty much a Scandahoovian feller from Chippewa County, but my wife is fluent in Spanish, and my two brothers-in-law, one brother-in-law is from Panama, and my other brother-in-law is from Ecuador, and so I talk about how we often are. I do my best to learn a little Spanish, but I'm not so great. But I picked up a few things, and one thing is we always have these big vibrant family get-togethers with lots of little kids, and I've learned the two most important Spanish words in all of parenting, which are cuidado and despacio. And cuidado basically means be careful, and despacio means, for Pete's sake, take it down a notch. And so basically, you can parent just by saying cuidado, despacio, cuidado. But then I talk about about how you get a guy like me and with my background, and you wind up with an interesting sort of Spanglish, which I caught myself the other day actually saying to my little one, cuidado there, which is, you throw that dare on the back. I said, that's kind of like wrapping your burrito in lefse. So I'll go off on a tangent like that. I talk about cheap cereal and pigs and chickens and the wonders of tents. I did a whole thing about why I like the tent up there for all the obvious reasons, but I'd also tie it to, you know, we all remember as kids that whole otherworldly feeling you'd get when you got your first tent and you camped in the yard overnight. And and then I tend to talk about things like old pickup trucks and...
You talk about lots of things. And I tell you, I was going to say something here. Dorothy in Oshkosh has a question or comment. Let's go there.
I have a comment. I was very excited to hear that Michael Perry was on. I had been hearing about the Big Top Chautauqua all my life. And, well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm almost 54, but it wasn't until 2008 that I made my first visit up there. And it was actually the Songwriters Weekend, because I am a singer-songwriter, and Michael Peter Smith, Bill and Kate Hiles, Bill Staines, Buddy Munlock, Karen Mao, L.J. Booth, lots of really great songwriters were there. And our next visit was last June. We went to hear Edgar Meyer and Bella Fleck, and that was just amazing. And I think the Blue Canvas Orchestra, it's kind of interesting how every visit we've made up there has led to something else. Just kind of by coincidence, the Blue Canvas Orchestra was performing in Ironwood when we were up north over the holidays, and we got to hear them. And I run a house concert series out of my home in Oshkosh called the Savage Beast House Concert Series, and it so happens that a couple of the people from Blue Canvas Orchestra I had scheduled them to perform at my house just last weekend. It's a group called Chance, and it's Ed Willett and Cheryl Leah. So I got to meet them in person because I hadn't met them in person yet when we saw them in Ironwood, and then they came to my home last Saturday. So it's like just a ripple effect, and now a lot of my friends have heard them, and their music is just amazing, as is the Blue Canvas Orchestra. Mm. So I just want to thank you for your efforts. It's just wonderful. I hope to get up there again in the summer, probably for the Songwriters Weekend.
Oh. Yeah, they've really... I think worked hard to expand the sort of, I hate even to use the word programming, but I suppose that's it. But the sort of elements they feature up there, and the songwriter element is a big part of that. It's, again, it's just a great place to listen to folks who take great care to craft their sound and their lyrics. And Ed and Cheryl, you bet, the other part is when you get up there and you get to see the Blue Canvas Orchestra and the singers, they get to step out and shine a little bit too, and I think people are quite rightly impressed by what they hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Dorothy. Thanks for calling. Got an email from someone who signed in as Metal Tech and wonders if you could collaborate to write and perform a song with anyone. And you could pick, who would you pick?
Wow, that's a tough one. I thought when you
said
metal.
Have you ever been asked that question before?
I thought when you said metal tech, he was going to ask me for welding tips, and that, which would have been a bad idea. If you have seen me weld, I do bubblegum welding. That is a tough one. I'm just now actually working on my first collaboration, and it's when it comes to fruition, I can talk a little more specifically about it. But it's with, of all things, a jazz musician. He approached me, and boy, I don't have a jazz bone in my body. Matter of fact, one of the times I most recently played at the Blue Canvas with the Blue Canvas Orchestra, I made a jazz joke and then had to apologize on stage because several of those folks have a great jazz background. And so that's been interesting because it was the first time I've ever just written lyrics to a pre-existing melody and a jazz melody at that. So it was tricky because there were some permutations that I've not necessarily run across in my DAG world. But as far as who I could choose, man, I don't know. I would want to choose someone. Part of the question I've already answered, because I would in some ways want to choose someone in a genre I'm utterly unfamiliar with. You know, I do listen to some jazz, and I have a superficial understanding, but I readily admit that I'm in the dark on a lot of it. And so it's been fun to work with this gentleman outside of my, as the cliche goes, comfort zone. But on the other hand, man, I think if I could just get 10 minutes to sit down maybe with, you know, I think right away of people like Patty Griffin and John Prine. And,
yeah.
But to tell you the truth, I think James McMurtry.
Oh.
Larry McMurtry's son. Yeah, because James McMurtry, man, he has a way of capturing that gritty, small-town, rural American experience. And he's a little gutsier than I am, to put it bluntly, and I'd like to learn a little bit of that from him.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, here,
now, I hope I haven't offended anybody out there, because, of course, there's lots of folks that like to. But I didn't want to give him the cop-out. I wanted to actually give him an answer. So
there you go. Well, I tell you what.
I'd like to write with Waylon, but that's not going to happen on this plane. So.
John, I think you tuned in a little late. He said, I was looking at the website for Big Top, and there aren't many shows scheduled during the winter. If Michael just started at the beginning of the year, how many shows has he done, and when will he start appearing on Wisconsin Public Radio? Well, he's missed a few already.
Yeah, and again, if you go to Write Today, probably the easiest way is to you either go to bigtop.org and find it there, or like I said, we've got a link up right now on sneezingcow.com that'll take you directly to the Tent Show Radio page. And the shows are running weekly for the rest of the year. There is a schedule there, too. When you get to the Tent Show Radio page, you can just click on right above the tent logo. It says who's playing this week or something along those lines. If you click on that, you'll actually get a schedule for the whole year.
Here's
hope that answered his question.
Yeah, I think you did. Here's another email from Wayne. In San Francisco.
One distinction, I'm sorry, Larry,
yeah, go ahead.
But perhaps what he's getting at is that one must distinguish between Tent Show Radio and the actual Big Top Chautauqua shows that take place from June through September. It'd be a little tricky to run a tent show live right now on Mount Ashua Bay.
A little chilly.
For one thing, it's cold, and for a second thing, there'd be people skiing through the tent on a regular basis.
Oh, well, here's an email from Wayne, San Francisco Bay Area, California. He said, I grew up
on... Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Nice to think warm thoughts.
Yeah. He says, I grew up on a farm southwest of Chautauqua near Dallas, and I've been a WPR listener for many years. I often listen to Tent Show Radio while living in Nicaragua, where I was doing environmental health research, and I recently had the pleasure of hearing Michael Perry hosting the show while I was attending a conference in Addis Ababa. So I can attest that his voice spans the world. So he says, keep up the entertaining work, and I'll listen for you wherever I am in the world.
Oh, neat. Well, I appreciate that. That's encouraging. And it's always good to hear from someone from Chautauqua area. And the real Dallas. People ask, have they ever been to Dallas? And they go, oh, yeah, I go through Dallas all the time.
Oh, and Julie, I got to go to Julie her email, because she's been listening for a long time, always enjoys the show. Tried to find a bus trip to take me there to see the show, and I had to give up. It must not have as much interest compared to the casino trips. She says, I will continue to listen online the old-fashioned way.
Well, we'll work on that, I guess. Hard to compete with the ringy dingy.
Tim in Fort Collins, Colorado. We go to you now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hey, I have a story for you to start with. And Michael's book truck came through our area a few years back and kind of spread through like a ramp, you know, like a wildfire through the area, and people loved it, and we all just loved it, et cetera, et cetera. And he actually came out, I guess, at one time. I didn't get to see him. But I remember when Obama was elected president, a local paper interviewed a bunch of writers and other people and said, you know, if there was one book you would have Obama read while he was in office, what book would you have him read? And everybody gave all these very intellectual, high-class things. And a friend of mine who's a very well-known local author here in town by the name of Laura Pritchett, her quote was something of the nature of, I'd have Obama read Truck because he's going to lose touch with real people and he'll need something to keep his spirits up. So I highly recommend him reading Truck.
I don't know what to say. I can tell you I haven't had a call or anything like that.
So.
that's neat, though. Thanks for that story. Yeah.
Tim, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if Michael can talk about anything he's written lately, I've read his stuff before Truck also. And if he's got any articles or anything else, we'd all out here love to devour them. And we'll start trying to listen to Tent Show Radio also. I didn't know about this. So thanks a lot.
Well, thanks a lot. And thanks for calling. Yeah, Colorado has been very good to me. It's interesting, little pockets of interest. And they do send me out there on book tour quite a bit. And I've had some nice readings out there. Well, I'm working on two books, and as is usually the case with me, I'm working on the books in between trying to do everything else, and so I'm a little slow sometimes, and I'm also just a slow writer, even if that was all I did. I revise and revise. I'm obsessive, compulsive about revision. It's my favorite part of the process, so it takes me a long time to get over the hump, and then when I do get to revision, I don't ever want to quit. My editors at some point insist that I turn it in, and I've always said that there's a great quote from a famous poet, and if I was a man of any character, I would be able to tell you who the poet was. I can't. But this poet said, a poem is never finished. It is only abandoned in despair. And I've felt like that about pretty much everything I've ever written. I'll say, oh, if I just had one more pass through it, you know. I could. But so I'm slow. But I'm working on two books right now. I'm working on another memoir. Don't know. I know I talked about it the last time I was on air, and I have made some substantial progress on it since then, but it basically starts with me hanging out with my 82-year-old neighbor who makes his own cannons, makes his own black powder, and keeps honeybees, and used to drive oxen and farm with horses. And I'm just, and he's also the father of two daughters, and as am I. So I'm trying to see if I can compose something from that. And then I'm also working on a young adult novel, which is completely new for me. I've not worked in that genre. I've not worked in the fiction genre before, and making good progress on that too. But both those books are probably due out, it looks like, in 2012. We're also working to try before the end of this year to get out the audio version of Coop and of Truck. The only reservation I have about that is I said the same thing last year. Speaking of politicians, I made promises and did not follow through. And then I'm always working on magazine pieces and new material. And whenever I have something published, I usually make a link to it. The only thing I have coming up, I just finished a little short, almost a sidebar piece for Men's Health magazine tied to my experiences as a young male nurse. And that should come out in the next couple of months, and I'll put a little link there.
So go to sneezingcow.com. And
yeah, and a lot of the writing, you know, I cheat a little bit. I don't think it's any secret. Some of the posts that show up on my blog on a daily basis are the early, you know, they're the seeds for things I expand later in the books. And so I do a little practice writing on the blog pretty much every day.
So. Well, you've got the Clodhopper monologues going now. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I love doing readings, and it's such a wonderful way to actually meet the readers. It's also my favorite thing is it's that chance to actually look people in the eye and thank them. You and I have talked many times, and so you've heard this before, but I never planned any of this. I just stumbled into a lot of it, and I just am very grateful. I'm a lucky guy. I'm doing something I like, and I've never expected it. And so I like the live events, but it got to where for a while I just had one book, and so I would do, you know, a whole thing on that book, and then I had two books and three and four, and now I'm working on my fifth and sixth, and so it kind of got to where I had all these different stories that I enjoyed telling, but I wasn't necessarily out promoting one book or the other. And so we're trying these events now where if it's the Clodhopper monologues, I just come out and I do two sets of about 45 minutes to an hour a piece. And I just kind of ramble. I have a set list, as it were, with some notes about things I might talk about, but I never. You know, I go off on tangents all the time, and I'm even turning to check the clock right now. But I always tell people the way my head works is I'm always going off on tangents. And the example I give is that at one time an editor contacted me, and he was putting together an anthology of Midwestern writing. And he said, we'd like you to write an essay about Wisconsin. And that was it. That was the only instruction he gave me. So I tell people the way my head works is I go, okay, Wisconsin. Well, that reminds me of cows. And cows remind me of milk, and milk reminds me of cheese, and cheese reminds me of cheese heads, and cheese heads remind me of the Packers, and the Packers remind me of the meaning of life. And as long as you can keep track of all those tangents and bring them back to where you started, well, that's an essay. So when I come out for the Clodhopper Monologues, I never quite know where I'm going to go, but I've got a certain amount of stories, and I have one story I know I'm going to end with, and it's just been a lot of fun. I do little pieces from the books, but I also do – it's mostly humor, and mm-hmm. I do humorous pieces that maybe didn't make it into a book or work better in a little different form live, and it's been a blast. We'd like to do more of them. This year has been sort of finding our feet and finding out how to best present the material and where, and – but, yeah, we'll be in Mineral Point here pretty soon with it. And So I do two things. I do the Clodhopper Monologues, and then sometimes we come out and we just did a show in Hayward the other night where the band comes out with me, and I do a monologue, a heavy portion for the first half of the show, and then the band plays the second half, although I tend to weave a couple stories in even during the band portion. They just have to sit there and roll their eyes and try not to act like they've heard it before.
Somebody... wondered if you'd bought a tractor yet.
You know, I'm cheating on the tractor thing. I would love to buy a tractor, but you know what? Things are going fine, but we do have to live frugally. We are self-employed and buying our own health insurance. People hear me say that all the time, but it's true, you know, and very grateful. Things are great. But my mother-in-law, who had the farm before we did, owns some property adjacent, and she has a nice little four-wheel drive tractor with a loader and some attachments that she leaves for when she's back to work on her land, and we have permission to use that. And so I get to use basically what it means is I get to use a tractor that I could never afford. All I have to do is mow her walking trails now and then I get to use the – so I was using the loader just the other day to shove a big old pile of chicken manure out of the way.
There you go. Well, you know, that might be the perfect place to end.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Metaphorically, it's perfect.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I tell you what. Now, I want to remind everybody, not only the Clodhopper Monologues, January 29th at 7:30 at Mineral Point Opera House in Mineral Point, Wisconsin, but every Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m., you can hear
in general, and if you're looking for specifics, just go to that link on Sneezing Cow, and it'll any times that are different,
we'll pop out. Yeah, 10 Show Radio, mm-hmm. Be heard on many Ideas Network stations Saturday from 7 to 8. Listeners to WHAD can hear the program Saturdays at 10 p.m. following Higher Ground. You can listen online no matter where you are in the world if you can find one of the radio stations that carries it and do a live stream with that station.
And I know coming up soon, there's a show with Mountain Heart and Randy Sabine, wonderful fiddler, jazz musician guy from right here, and then Yonder Mountain String Band coming up in a couple of weeks. So
lots of fun stuff. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks to the callers and folks listening. It's fun to talk to people.
Michael Perry, our guest. You know what? He and I have a chat every once in a while, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be chatting again. You know, maybe some more about 10 Show Radio, or maybe about his latest book, or maybe about his latest tour. He's always up to something, and it's always good. I can tell you that. I don't always editorialize, but I am in this case. He's a great guy, a great writer, and a great person, Michael Perry. And we will have him back. Go to his website if you want to find some more information out. His website, sneezingcow.com. Well, coming up, we're going to be hearing about guys and does. I'll just leave that little thing for you. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin public radio.